We're going to read the Word of God from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we are going back just a little, not at the beginning of the chapter, but toward the end of the chapter. A few verses from Romans 1, and then a little from chapter 2. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Here is the testimony of natural revelation. We know that God exists, not only because of what He has told us in His Word, but because of the evidence of God in nature. Romans 1, verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." This happened before and after the flood. We know that our first parents in the Garden of Eden knew God, and yet they failed to glorify Him as God. Again, Noah and his family not only saw the great cataclysm, but they also knew and worshiped the living God. And yet, as the race continued on, there was not the glorifying of Him or the thankfulness, but the vanity of human imagination, and the darkness that filled the heart. Verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And now over to chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 12. "For as many as have sinned without law," that is the Gentiles who didn't receive this special revelation of God's holy law as the Jews did, "for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law," these are the Jews, "shall be judged by the law." Now down to verse 16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." Do you see the connection there? Verses 13, 14, and 15 are in parentheses because the very thought from verse 12 continues to verse 16. I'll read it again. "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." Verse 16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." Amen. We end our reading there with verse 16. And it is verse 16 in particular that is our text for today, and we trust that God, the Holy Spirit, will so move in this place today and energize His Word and enable His servant to preach and enable us to hear so that we would profit from the Word, that it would not just be something passing, but may the Lord minister grace to us for Jesus' sake. Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That is what I was saying earlier. I am not allowed to say where the honeymoon is. Okay. So I have to keep that secret. Secrets are kept by many people. And secrets are revealed by many people. Some people can't keep a secret. They just have to tell someone. Well, why are secrets kept anyway? We're going to deal in particular with the secrets that God's talking about here. But in general, why are secrets kept by anyone? Some people keep secrets because they're afraid that if others knew, then the secret plans would be thwarted or their purposes would be hindered in some way. Another reason that secrets are kept, some people keep secrets because they're spiteful or enjoy causing others sadness, grief, or anxiety. Haven't you seen little children go over and whisper to one another simply because they want another child to feel left out, to feel sad, and be hurt by them? So I say some secrets are secrets for spite. And then other people carefully keep secrets because they know someone will be surprised and delighted once the secret is let out. You know, secret of a surprise birthday party and all those things. Still, other people keep secrets because they can't face someone with the truth, or they fear hurting someone's feelings. So they keep secrets, and eventually it comes out, and the people's feelings are hurt anyway. So, and they wish they had told them. All right. Fifthly, some folks regularly keep secrets because they sincerely believe that their secrets are no one else's business. Okay, you know folks like that. All right, and then sixthly, our Bible reading reveals some shockingly horrible sins that we've read about in chapter 1. And some people are ashamed to let other people know that they are guilty of such crimes. In America, a generation ago, these sins that we've read about in chapter 1 were kept in the closet, under wraps, because there was remaining a greater vestige of the fear of God in America 50 years ago than there is today. Therefore, people are not so ashamed as they ought to be. Therefore, they come out publicly with their sin. But the Bible tells us here in this text that judgment day is as certain as the gospel is certain. That's the first thing I want you to see today. That judgment day is as certain as the gospel is certain. For what does he say in verse 16? He says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So here is the good news of judgment. So the first thing is that judgment day is as certain as the gospel is. Secondly, in that day, every secret will be revealed. No more secrets as far as man goes. And then, thirdly, judgment will be administered by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What does verse 16 say? In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So judgment day, I say, is as certain as the gospel is certain. As it is appointed unto men once to die, it is appointed to men after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And the apostle preaching to the philosophers in Athens said in Acts chapter 17, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The one that God the Father has raised from the dead is appointed to be the judge of all. God has given absolute assurance that judgment day is coming. By Christ's resurrection, judgment is sealed as a part of the gospel. Judgment day is especially good news for God's people. Do you ever get sick and tired of the iniquity that is swirling all around you in the cesspool of this world? Well, judgment day is especially good for God's people. We've been slandered, despised, and ridiculed by the wicked for a long time. Many believers have been beaten and imprisoned for their faith. Many saints have been murdered and martyred because they love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is happening in the world today in many countries. Certainly the day of judgment is coming to set all these things right. The gospel demands judgment day. The gospel demonstrates the exceeding sinfulness of sin. We've read here. It's not pleasant reading. It's grieving to the heart. It's grieving to our understanding to know that such is the condition of the world today. Such is the condition of our country. And this is the condition of societies in the past that have been destroyed under the almighty judging hand of God. The gospel demonstrates not only exceeding sinfulness of sin, it does not at all make light of any sin. The gospel is Jesus Christ Himself. And He said, except ye repent, except ye change your mind and change your lifestyle, you will all likewise perish. And He repeated that. The gospel does not at all excuse any sin. It leaves no room even for heart sins like lust and anger and hypocrisy. The gospel declares judgment against sin. In chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 of this second chapter, verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2, but unto them that are contentious, oh no, God, we don't want your way, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath is coming to them, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Now the gospel is all tenderness to repenting sinners. Thank God for that. The gospel is all tenderness to repenting sinners, but the gospel is terror to obstinate sinners who will not repent. There is pardon for the vilest sinner who turns from sin to Christ. We can testify that. But the sinner who goes on in his iniquity will be cast into hell and everlasting damnation. Everlasting punishment for the wicked will be enduring just as long as eternal happiness endures for the people of God. It's real. It is real. This is according to our gospel. Paul says in verse 16, according to my gospel. So Paul was sickened by the vile sins of the world so that he grasped the gospel with both his hands. And he said, here is my hope. This is what I'm clinging to. He rejoiced that in the gospel. He possessed the gospel and he was assured that we will ultimately be in a place where there is no sin existent or tolerated. Praise God for that. So, judgment is a part of the gospel. And judgment is as certain as the gospel is. Secondly, in that day every secret will be revealed. And here it gets rather up close and personal. On judgment day, every sin of every human being shall be uncovered and made visible to the whole gathered universe. Oh, what a scene. You ever have a hard time tolerating yourself? There are many people in our society that have such a time, hard time tolerating themselves that they take their lives. But when we see our sin, and when we think of even these things being brought up before the universe, what is our hope as believers? The judge will stand up and say, that one is mine. I cover all that. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Every crime, even these vile sins that we have been reading about, will be brought into the daylight. All the wickedness that has been perpetrated behind closed doors will be brought into the open. Those hidden sins of which people are mortally ashamed will be brought into universal light. There will be no hiding on that day. All will be known by all. Every motive for every action will be weighed. Many will be found guilty. Being godly only for gain. Generous only to be seen of men. Many will be shown to have been religious only for the praise of men. Nothing is hidden from the all-seeing eyes of God. All things are naked and opened to the God with whom we have to do. All secret things will be judged. That's not only frightening, that's a cause for rejoicing. Praise God. All secret things will be judged because many wonderful things have been done in secret, in obedience to God and only for His glory. Those things in which God most delights have been done behind closed doors. The motive behind such things was only to please God and to enjoy Him. Secret things actually give the best evidence of a man's true condition. The things you do when there's no one but you and God there, that is the index of your life. That is where you can measure yourself. What are you like when there's no one there but you and God? Many sins will only be committed in secret because of cowardice and shame. Likewise, many acts of devotion and godliness are only done in secret, lest they be done for the praise of men. Let us remember that every thought, every word, and every deed is completely surveyed by the splendid light of God's omniscience that shines from His eternal throne. Let us remember that judgment is as certain as the gospel is certain, and that every secret thing will be judged and brought to light. Finally, judgment will be administered by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, the Father hath committed all judgment to the Son. Christ Jesus is the man ordained to this great task. And how perfectly fitted He is to this task. He who so humbled Himself to flee from Herod and to be judged by Pilate, that He should be their final judge. How fitting. And even as a little infant, our Savior was taken to flee with His mother and His foster father from Herod, from the persecution. And then He finally stood before Pilate's bar of judgment. And Pilate and Herod will stand before His judgment bar. Before Him all Caesars and all popes must bow and hear their sentences. No more shame, no more spitting, no more mockery, no more thirst, no more nails or anguish. It's all glory now. Jesus reigns and He's the judge. Before Him, kings and judges and rulers must stand. Therefore, the psalmist warns the judges and the kings of the earth. Be wise, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. It is our safety to bow humbly to Christ, lest He be angry and we perish. All modernists, Unitarians, deists, and Jewish Messiah rejectors will have to bow before King Jesus the Judge and admit His sovereign eternal deity as Almighty God. There have been so many who have rejected Jesus Christ as God, and they will find in the day of judgment that He indeed is God. No one will be able to say that the Judge does not understand what human beings face. He is not unfeeling, nor is He harsh. It is impossible for Him to be unfeeling. It is impossible for Him not to understand the human condition, because He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, Christ is a faithful, merciful, and sympathetic High Priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And yet He is our Judge. He was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And no one ever had sorrow like He did. Therefore, He is the perfect Judge for mankind. He will be totally calm and dispassionate. In His infinite ability, He will speak in perfect tones. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And with those same lips, He will turn to the left hand and say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. He is the one and the only one in the universe who can carry out this judgment. He who was judged on the cross for our sins by infinite justice will on that day render judgment to us and of us. So we must conclude. Judgment Day is as certain as the gospel. In that day, all secrets will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for Judgment Day. The way that things are now cannot continue. Oppression by tyrants will be crushed and eternally broken. The conspiracies that are hatched behind closed doors, all of the wickedness, the corruption, and the filth in this world, and even of the world leaders, shall be made public and condemned by Almighty God, the Judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. Justice will be meted out to high and low, and rich and poor alike. Such a reality ought to cause us to tremble. Who may abide the day of His coming, and who shall stand when He appeareth? The prophet Malachi asked. Were it not for Jesus' saving, cleansing blood and the robe of His imputed righteousness, there would be no hope for any of us. Were it not for Christ, our hearts would fail us for fear at the thought of such a thorough and certain judgment. A judgment that goes even into the secrets. Are we not thankful that there is such a thing as memory loss to some degree? My poor mother, I went over to her house when we got home last night. She's almost 98 years old, and she couldn't remember what happened the day before. But I say this, I am thankful that so much of the corruption and the ungodliness and the sin in this sinner's life, I have suffered memory lapse. I thank God that He cleanses us of secret sins, as the psalmist prayed. But you know, these things, although they may be secret to us now in our fallen feebleness, they are not secrets to God. God does not forget. God remembers all. God is in the eternal now. There is no past, present, and future with that august being which we cannot even begin to take in. So I trust God will impress His truth upon our hearts, that it is indeed a reality. There is a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Let us pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thy Word gives us the accurate assessment of who we are and what we are and what the future holds. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help us to follow what the Bible tells us to be and to do. O God, we thank Thee for Thy goodness to us. Please minister to us as we come to the end of this service. Cause the truth of God to be settled in our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen.